Invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Jude. This morning we want to introduce another passage of scripture into this rotation of passages that we read together regularly. And this one will be Jude 21 through 25. Let me invite you to read with me Jude 21 through 25. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garments stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory, with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority, before all time, and now, and forever.
Amen.
The book of Jude is one of those, I think there's four or five books in the Bible that are one chapter books. If I sit down, I could probably figure out how many I know, but the book of Jude most likely is written by the brother of Jesus. If you go back and read in the Gospels, and it mentions the brothers of Jesus. He has one named James among the others. He has one named James, one named Jude. And if you'll notice in Jude 1, the first verse of the book of Jude, Jude does not mention anything about Jesus, but he does say, Jude, who is the brother of James. And it's probably the James that we have the book of James. And so Jude and James both seem to have been written probably by these brothers of Jesus. The interesting thing about that is that during his ministry on earth, his brothers were not among his apprentices. They were not among his, in fact, they try to pull him away at a point, a time or two. And so he becomes, by the time you read Acts chapter 1, maybe because they've seen the resurrected Christ, I don't know, but they now are numbered among the disciples who are in Jerusalem waiting for the sending of the Spirit. Jude is a short book, 25 verses. But it could have been even shorter. I mean, if you really look at it, you could skip from verse 4 to verse 20, and it makes sense. Let me just read those two verses, verse 4 and verse 20. For certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality, deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourself in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. You see how you could pretty well go from verse 4 to verse 20, and it makes total sense. That there are these folks, he says, there are certain people. There's a problem here. There are certain people that have decided that somehow it's enough just to be baptized. And that, in fact, baptism is kind of a, I don't know if you're familiar with the word licentiousness. Licentiousness means that's you think it's a license to sin. And somehow some people have gotten the wrong idea, according to verse 4, certain people, that it's enough to be baptized, and then you don't have to do much after that. You don't have to reform your life. You don't have to repent. And he's saying, but you, notice verse 20, but you, there's more expected of you, beloved. The book of James in verses 5 through 19, which is really the bulk of the book, if you think about it, is about problems. It's about people who have problems. They're messed up. And so it's example after example that, first of all, God is still in business, but also that God will deal with the wicked. And notice in verse 5, it says there are the faithless ones. There are people repeating and living out the story of Israel. You know that story, don't you, in the book of Exodus? God rescues them in an amazing way through these plagues, brings them out of Egypt, rescues them when Pharaoh has the second thoughts and sends his posse after them. God rescues them. And then I was just struck by this recently. I've been reading through the Bible in mornings this year, and I'm in Exodus, and it's not very long, and they're off track. And they saw all of these marvelous things that God did, and they're no longer slaves, and yet they start saying, well, we sure did like the food back there. Why did you bring us out here? Did you bring us out here to die? And so he's saying, starting in verse 5, don't repeat that story. Don't live out that story. Another example is, he says there are those who are dreamers, who reject authority, that they are so-called prophets. That's the idea that I'm a prophet. I've received a special revelation from God. If you want it, you're going to have to come through me. You probably need to have your wallet open when you do that. And so there are problems there. Or verse 16, again, the story of Israel, where they're murmurers. They complain against God. God who has rescued them. And then there are those who are the divisive ones, verse 19, who they have not the Spirit, it says. And I would suggest to you that people who are divisive, that's a pretty good sign they don't have the Spirit, that the Spirit would unify people rather than divide people. Verses 20 and 21, see, it's back to you. Verse 5, there's you. Now here, you, he says, build yourselves up, plural, build yourselves up in the most holy faith. Keep yourselves in the love of God, God's kind of love, love all who God loves. I think that's the point here. Will you love other people the way God does? It's easy for us, and sometimes we're tempted to say, I want to write this person off. I don't want to mess with them anymore. Aren't you glad God doesn't ever say that? And if we want to echo the love of God in our world, we will love people that are not very loving, who may never respond in a positive way to the love that we show them. I mean, that's God, isn't it? That's really the love of God. Does God love all people? Does he love the whole world? That's what John 3:16 says, isn't it? And yet, does the whole world love him back? No, he gives them a choice, because the sort of relationship he wants with human beings is that he wants a relationship in which people choose to love him back. That's the kind of relationship he wants. So keep yourselves in the love of God. he says, God's kind of love. And then he says, and wait for God's mercy. It's sure to come, is God's mercy. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever thought about the second coming of Jesus as a sign of the mercy of God. That God's going to show mercy when Jesus comes again. For the righteous, it is a day of joy, not sadness, when Christ comes again. And notice verses 22 and 23. He says, so reach out to others. Where do we get the idea that we ought to go to others, that we ought to reach out to others and try to draw them back in when they falter? Don't we learn that from God himself? Isn't that what the coming of Jesus is about? God entering into our world, God coming on a rescue mission. The EMTs, it's heaven's EMT unit. That's Jesus, who's coming to rescue people who have brought trouble upon themselves. So reach out to those who are faltering and with a proper sense of caution. Sin is a powerful force. Don't think you are stronger than you are. The book of Jude does not close with indictments regarding troublemakers, nor instructions for the faithful. Do you notice that? When you come to the end of the book of Jude, there is a time to talk about problems, but it's at the end of the book of Jude, you don't talk about problems. But those who make a career out of problems soon wither from malnourishment and harden into chronic critics. You've been around those folks, haven't you? Every time you're around them, you go away worse. Because they always know what this person did that's wrong or what that person's doing that's wrong. And they're always ready to list that. I call that being preoccupied with pathology. You know what the word pathology means? It's the study of what went wrong. There's a whole medical field of pathology. There are people who are doctors of pathology. What do? They study disease. They study things that have gone wrong. You don't want to do that as a Christian. That you always are preoccupied with what others have done that's wrong. There is a time to stop focusing on problems and to remember that the church and our world belong to God, not to us. We live in a world that can be frightening, don't we? That can be disappointing and discouraging. But it is important for us to remember this world is not ours to fix. It is God's world. And God is going about the business of making things right in this world. And he's letting us help him. The proper framework for Christian living is worship. That's what we should be preoccupied with, is worshiping the God who owns this world. It is worship that helps to keep our spiritual balance, in that it reminds us that we are servants and God is king. Do you understand why I'm saying that? Why I would say that? What is worship about? It is acknowledging that God is king and I am not. And that if in this past week, when we gather together on the Lord's Day, if in this past week I have been tempted and maybe even have have walked my way over to try to occupy the throne rightly occupied by God, it's time for me to get out of that chair and to acknowledge that it is God who rules the universe, not me. And I'm going to suggest to you that that can be comforting. God is at the wheel. God is at work. And we shouldn't be discouraged. We are his servants of this God who is the King. Now, the reason I bring this up about worship is, notice the last couple of verses of this book, the book of Jude. That verses 24 and 25 close with doxology. The Greek word doxos means praise. Praise of God. That's what verses 24 and 25 are. Praise. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forever. And the book of Jude ends with the word amen. That is an invitation to those who hear these words to respond with an amen, because that word amen means I believe this. To him who is able. You notice that in verse 24. See, that's good news, isn't it? God is able to do whatever is needed to do. God is able. And God is able, here's something even more important. God is able to keep you from falling. That's a pretty powerful God, isn't it? God is a God who can keep you from falling, who can keep you on your feet spiritually, so that you don't get tripped up and lose your way. And God shall, at the end, in the last day, God will make you stand without blemish. Do you hear what that's saying? The time will come when Jesus returns, and we stand before Jesus and we see his face as it is. And it is a day of joy, because he will make us stand without blemish before God. And so he says, to God through Jesus Christ, God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, be glory, majesty, power, authorities, just piling up descriptive terms of who God is. And I think he's also echoing 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11. Look at that. Compare 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11 to that part of the book of Jude. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. You are exalted. It sounds, these words from the book of Jude sound like an echo of 1 Chronicles 29. To the only God and our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority. Notice he says, before. Do you catch the tenses here? The past, before, now, the present, and the future, forever. Name any time in coming years that God is able, that God can keep you from falling, that He will make you stand without blemish. To God, through Jesus Christ, be glory, majesty, power, authority, before and now, forever. Isn't that a great passage? I think it's one we probably need to try to memorize, or at least read it again together. And I invite you once more to read with me this passage. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garments stained by the flesh. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority, before all time, and now, and forevermore. Amen. It's a short book, but it packs a punch.